Hi, I'm Dr. Barbara Byers. Welcome back to my podcast. This is called So That. A while back I did one called So What, and this is So That. And this is based in Genesis 18. So we find in Isaiah 1:19 where the Lord says, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." If we are willing to hear what the Lord says and then follow up with active, responsive obedience, we're going to receive His blessings. We're going to know what it is to have His promises fulfilled in our life and enjoy all the good things He brings and all that He has ordained for our lives. So in other words, we are to receive, we're to believe, and we are to act on His word so that He can bless us and bring all His promises to fruition. Hebrews 4:2 in the Message speaks of the Israelites who heard God's promises of the land, but it says the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises by faith, with faith. So they didn't take them in. And then they didn't act in obedience. Promises test us. Psalm 105 tells us that Joseph was sorely tested by the word after he was given prophetic words. And I think one reason is because his destiny was just so great. The promises are so great that they test us. You know, God is relational and He values our partnership. He values when we come in faith to collaborate with Him and we walk with Him to see the fulfillment of His words. We don't just sit passively in some kind of passive agreement. We agree with Him, we align with Him, and we act on what He says. Sometimes that includes warfare and often it includes waiting. So in Genesis 18, we see that Abraham is resting in the afternoon shade by his tent, and he has three visitors. I'm going to read this. "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby." So suddenly these guys are there. "When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground and said, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by.'" There was some intuition, some recognition in his heart of the presence. "Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. And then let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." So this was typical hospitality in those days when someone came to your tent. "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into Sarah's tent. "Quick," he said, "get three measures of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. This would all take a bit of time, making bread, baking it, preparing the stew. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. So we see this picture of Abraham really being a servant to them. He bowed down, he had this prepared, and then he watched while they ate. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." I want you to notice who initiated the action here. Who made the promise? God did. It was God's idea to promise this son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent. Of course she was, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past childbearing age. So they're about 90 and 100 at this point. That's shriveled, right, in terms of reproductive facility. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "Am I worn out and my Lord old? After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Will I really have a child now that I'm old?" He read her mail. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." So Sarah was afraid. So she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." Well, she didn't laugh out loud. But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." So I want you to know the Holy Spirit always tells the truth. But the wonderful thing is, it didn't disqualify her. Grace had come with that promise. And Hebrews 11:11 says, "And by faith, Sarah, although past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." Oh, evidently her laughter turned to faith. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. So he went with them a little ways. Then the Lord said, I think this is so beautiful. "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he'll direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that," here's the "so that, the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. I've given him this promise. I want him to walk in a certain way in obedience so that I can fulfill this promise." There's some amazing things in this passage, but let's look first one chapter before that in Genesis 17. So God has appeared to Abraham already when he was 99 and told him he'd be a father to a multitude. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He changed from Sarai to Sarah. He established a covenant with him and his descendants, and he gave him instructions for circumcision. So there was obedience required there, so that. And in 17:19, God specifically said that Sarah, although 90, would have a son to be called Isaac at this season next year. So he was the son of covenant. Now it's a little bit later, and these three men suddenly appear. I think it was the Lord and two angels. He's an old man, but he knew for years and years of following the Lord, he knew God's faithfulness. He'd already left the land of his father, not knowing where he was going. And it's interesting, it says when Abraham was resting there in the shade, he lifted up his eyes. Psalm 123 says, "Unto you, O Lord, I lift up my eyes, you who dwell in the heavens." There's often a lifting up that we need to do to see the Lord and to come into his presence. So he evidently recognized something of importance happening here, something of the presence in this encounter. God had come and Abraham wanted him to stay. It's always what we want, isn't it? When he comes and we sense his presence, when we encounter the Holy One. Abraham said, "Don't pass me by. Don't pass me by." And he made a beautiful feast and he waited and watched. And there was a deep purpose God had placed in Abraham and in Sarah. And I love verse 14. Is anything too difficult for God? Anything at all? Anything? Nope. Even this man, 100, and this woman, 90, it's not too difficult for God. He calls dead things to life. He makes dead wombs whole babies. Why? Because he promised. He initiated the action. He initiated the promise. And he found a man and a woman who would believe him. And this is another amazing thing in verse 17. The Lord says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" This is the Lord having conversation with a mere man. It's like he did with Moses, who was a friend of God. Abraham is a friend of God. He was a faithful man and an obedient man, and he had become a friend of God. And so the Lord interrupted Abraham's just daily, probably routine of resting in the afternoon with promise and instructions in his presence. And God himself, the sovereign Lord, decided he was going to let Abraham in on his secrets. Shall I hide anything from him? I'm going to let him know. You're my best friend here. And you know, we only tell people we really, really trust our secrets. I have a few really close friends and I trust them and I will tell them my secrets. They were in covenant together and God wasn't going to hide what he was going to do. And in the last verse, in verse 19, it says, "For I have chosen him so that he'll direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham all that he's promised." He called him, he chose him, he promised him he was going to prosper him, but it was Abraham's responsibility to direct his soul into obedience, to direct his faith so that God could fulfill it. And wow, even some years later, Isaac's about 12 or so, and the Lord says to Abraham, "Take him up to the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him." Can you imagine? And Abraham does it. He's got the knife in his hand, and God provided the ram in the bush. And so that there was this continual call to obedience, this continual testing. And God's promises to us are very often conditional on our obedience. You know, we might be deeply in debt and we're like, "Lord, help me." And he's like, "I absolutely will help you. I will get you out of debt." And we think, "Yes, the lottery's coming." And instead, the Lord wants us to walk through making some sacrifices, making some permanent changes, so we'll know how to walk in a new way and get out of debt in the process. But in the new way, we're learning God's way so that he can fulfill his promises. And his promises should so penetrate our heart. And when they do, it requires a response from us, believing action. I love what Eugene Peterson in the introduction to Hebrews and the Message said. "Our central task is to live in responsive obedience to God's action revealed in Christ. Our part in the action is the act of faith." And God is forming us as he speaks, and we need to listen to what he's saying and believe him. You know, we look at David. He's anointed king years before he became king, but he lived in obedience because he was learning how to strategize in warfare and how to direct his men. We see the same thing with Deborah. She's a judge and a prophet, and she tells the commander, "You're going to win the war, you know, go out against Sisera." And he goes, "I'm not going if you don't go." And she had to go to war with this guy because she's going to see that promise fulfilled. We see it in Moses. We see his obedience and his disobedience. When he disobeyed and struck the rock instead of speaking to it, he didn't get to enter in the promised land with the people. He led all the way there. God means what he says. God is so good, and he won't let one word fall to the ground if we're willing and obedient, and if we believe and don't neglect to act on that word. So let's move forward with faith, with trust, with loving, responsive obedience. Obedience isn't some dry teeth gritting thing, right? It's a beautiful act of faith so that God can accomplish all he intends for us and in us, just like Abraham, so that he can bring about all that he's promised to us. So thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time.